We will begin on page 61. Right column, second paragraph where it says Beparshas HaTeshuva. And the year is Tafrei Shnun. Right. Okay. Beparshas HaTeshuva. It says in the Parsha on Teshuva, in this week's Parsha, V'hisvadu, and we shall express verbally our chet. So the Torah says if a person sins and they do any type of avera, V'hisvadu, they have to confess, meaning they have to express to Hashem verbally what it is that they did. Hu b'koach HaTorah. He said this mitzvah of teshuva and vidui, it comes to us through the power of Torah. Shenitan libnei Yisrael, that was given to the Jewish people. Shekochan b'peh, because our power is with our mouth. Dichsiv, as it says, Torah Hashem tamima mishivas nefesh. God's Torah is complete and whole, tamima. It restores the nefesh. So restoring the nefesh, he's connecting to the power of teshuva, and that's done through Torah, because Torah Hashem Tamima is a Torah that's pure and restores the soul. The yesh, nefesh, ruach, neshama. We know that there are three levels. The nefesh is the lower level, then the ruach, then the neshama. V'chol pegam hachatoin. The real defect or deficiency which is caused by chet, by transgression, heim benefesh. What it really defects and affects is the soul, is the nefesh aspect. The lower rung of our soul, our nefesh, that is what is most impacted by chet. Kamo shekasu v'oshma ha-nefesh, as it says, and the nefesh will be guilty or liable, responsible. So it sounds like that the burden of the chet is carried, at least as far as its chesaron, its pagam, is carried by the nefesh, that level. Avol haruach, however, when it comes to the next level up, which is the ruach, im ha'odam chote, if a person is chote, nichnas bo ruach shtus, then the regular ruach that he has is replaced by a ruach shtus, a foolish, ungrounded, unthinking ruach. So the nefesh apparently is still there, and during the chet, the nefesh could become affected negatively. The ruach, seemingly, at the moment of chet, it's replaced by another ruach, by a ruach shtus. K'ma'amurim zad, the chachamim said, they said a person doesn't sin unless there's a ruach shtus. V'lochein, therefore, b'koach ha'peh b'torah, through the same power of ruach, which is the power of the mouth, through Torah, utefila, or through davening, because that's also the power of the mouth, shehu bechinas ruach mamalala, and that is called the ruach which speaks, ruach mamalala is speaking ruach, yochol letakem kol hachatoim, a person is then able to fix the chet, the chatoim, which they have done. So that ruach of peh, of Torah and Tefillah of Vidui, when we use it, when we employ it, its power is such that the nefesh that has experienced the pagam, it is restored.
You're just talking about me.
It's restored. Which word, Hill? Be careful now. Only say good things about yourself. Okay, we're on page 61. We're doing this mantra right here. Parshas
HaTeshuvah. The higher level.
Ruach is higher than nefesh.
Yeah.
Lower than neshama.
The form of the nefesh.
Who wants to say that the nefesh is what gets the defect? So you have to have the level above the nefesh, which is the ruach, to use its koach. And that is what restores. It acts upon the nefesh through through the power of Vidui, Torah, and Tefillah.
So top down.
Yeah,
kind of.
That's right. And that, it's, I believe he's saying that that higher level, the Ruach level, is not really defected by Chet. Because when a Chet happens, it kind of takes off, and the Ruach Shtus is there for a while. The Chet's over.
It changes. It's sort of like changed completely by a Pagan.
It's not changed at all. It's gone.
It kind of steps
to the side.
Exchange.
That's right. So it doesn't get a Pagan.
It's the Ruach itself.
Right. That seems what it seems like. That's what
Ruach Shtus.
Right.
It replaces the Ruach.
Right.
So where does it go?
By bringing in Torah and Tefillah, then you replace the Ruach Shtus
with the Ruach HaKedusha. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then that replacement there, restoring that Ruach, its koach is such that it can be misakein the Pagam that the Nefesh rung of the Neshama experienced. Sounds like that's what he's saying. V'ayin b'zor HaKadosh Reish Parsha Zu b'pasuk lo yachshov lo avon. Look in the Zohar HaKadosh, in this Parsha, Pasuk says, it shall not be considered okay, kishein berucho remiyah, as long as there's no treachery or deceit in his Ruach. I think that comes from Tehillim. Romeis gam kem lazeh, this is also a hint to this, to al yedei haruach yuchal letakein pagame hanefesh, that through the Ruach you can be misakein the Pagam of the Nefesh. So he says that, let me just get back to quote again, Lo yachshov lo oven kishein berucha remia, when there's no deceit in the Ruach, right? When the Ruach is a real Ruach, Torah, Tefillah, Vidui, that's what misakein the Pagam HaNefesh.
This Pasuk's in that Parsha?
That one is not, no. The Parsha of Vidui is...
Reish Parsha Zu in the Zohar.
Reish Parsha Zu in the Zohar, yeah.
Zohar.
Right. Mm-hmm. Ukasiv Ashrei Adam Lo Yachshov, and it says, praiseworthy, or these are the praises of the man who does not think, and that's not as it sounds, right, doesn't think about chet, right, does not consider chet. Shezem Yuchad Rak L'Bnei Yisrael, this is specific to the Jewish people, Shenikroim Adam, who are called Adam, Atem Kruin Adam. But others outside of Klal Yisrael is considered the realm of Behema, which is to say, Ve'ein Bohem Ruach HaAdam HaOleh Hilamala, that they do not have above the Nefesh a Chelek of Neshama. So he's saying this, that the Jewish people have a Neshama Hayona, and it has Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, it also has Chaya and Yechida, whereas non-Jewish people in the world, they don't have the chelek of Ruach and above. They have a nefesh, but it's really a nefesh abahamas. It's not even the same as our nefesh either. They have a nefesh abahamas. But above that, they don't have this Ruach that is connected to Torah and Tefillah, that they don't have.
So when a ger is niskayer, do we understand that, so to speak, like a Ruach Shtus, Kaviyachal enters us, that a Ruach then enters them, a Ruach of Kedusha?
When a ger is niskar, they get a neshama, they get a complete Jewish soul.
So a neshama that includes a Ruach.
Right, nefesh, Ruach, neshama, chayachina. They get the whole package, right.
Whole package.
So, powerful thing.
Yeah.
So, let's say a B'nai Noach or someone like that, a righteous...
Just a minute there.
Oh. Could be the
trash.
Look, Hashem, we don't live in a part of the world where we have to be concerned it was a fire bombing. That's what I thought of. Trash, I'm sorry, you say?
B'nai Noach or one of the Chassidei HaOlam, they are acting in a righteous way in spite of the fact that they don't have that spirit, that inward spirit.
Yes, they have the nefesh, but they don't have above that. That's correct.
Well, calling it a nefesh of Bahamas seems to indicate a lower level than even one that could allow them to do very, very good.
It is. However, the Ramchal writes that they do have some bechina of ruchnius, according to the identity of that nation. That's how they can gain a chelik in Olam Haba. Because without that, if we just had Nevesh Abraham, there's no real nitzchias to that. So they can achieve high levels of service and relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just not through Torah, not through Tayag Mitzvahs, as a Jew can do.
This is a difficult question to ask in a certain way, but there seems sometimes to be some, I don't know if uniquely Jewish aspects to personal suffering, but characteristic Jewish aspects to suffering. Now, I'm wondering if, Lachar, you could say that, in a certain sense, because a Jew has the additional dimensions of Ruchnius, that the absence of that or a disconnection from that also has sort of parallels of suffering with certain unique qualities of mental suffering. I wonder if you could sort of say like that as an explanation for certain of the difficult characteristics that seem that we suffer from or come to.
I could say that it certainly is possible, because the greater the Kedusha, which is present, the greater amount also of the opposite that could be possible. So it follows for me logically that that could be the case.
So then consequently also, if a Jewish neshama that is not doing what it's supposed to do, it's doing various, could fall lower than a goy who's doing.
It can, in that the impact that that person has on the world and on himself is greater than that of a Gentile. But at the same time, the Kedusha of the Nishmat Yisroel is always and at all times in its source higher than any other nation. So as far as the Bechira, the impact, what it causes, yeah, it could have a lot more up and down effect, but the intrinsic Kedusha, even if they're not doing good things, the intrinsic Kedusha is always great.
That's the thing that happens if they do good, possibly something bad.
Yeah, even so.
Even so.
The intrinsic Kedusha of the Neshama is greater. They're causing harm in the world, and the other one may not be, so that's to their credit.
Right.
But the essence of the Kedusha and the Nishmat Yisroel is always greater. And that ties in here, because he says that really when we make the Pragam, it's only up to the level of our Nefesh. Higher than that,
right.
It's never, it's not affected, it's always there, it's in place.
I was thinking of something called Marx's petition. Which an epical effect on the 20th century.
Right. A couple other Yidden too, right?
Right, yeah.
Right, Einstein.
Right, exactly. Well, Einstein, I include him in that trio, but, I mean,
certainly those have be argued as the three most people who had
influential.
Most influential people.
Yeah, 20th century, sure.
Three, yeah, certainly three of the main.
Lamarck was 19th century.
Right, right.
But his influence was...
Yeah, the influence was... Yeah. Okay. V'lachen mitzvah ha'tshuva miyuchah l'bnei Yisrael b'korach ha'torah v'ruach. Therefore, the mitzvah of tshuva is unique to Klal Yisrael.
So it means the ruach is... It returns from
right. Having, it's know, there, and it's through the power of Torah, and that's unique to the Jewish people. Hagam shematzinu teshuva gam ba'umos kamo beninve ubamabo. Even though you do find in Tanakh that there is a concept of teshuva by the nations of the world, like Nineveh, right? Yonah was sent to Nineveh. That was not a Jewish city, and he was sent to them to tell them to repent. And also the Mabo, God was waiting for people to repent. Shehimtin lohem shayasu tshuva, God was waiting. So he says, what is that? That's different than this is. Hainu, that is, l'shanos ma'aseihem l'tov. That all they have to do is correct their behavior. U'mocha lehem Hashem yisparach barachamah. Then God forgives them. So it's, okay, this nation of Nineveh, they were doing bad things. The murderers at the time of the Mabul and all the other corruption there, change your behavior. That's it. That's tshuva for u'mocha olam. However, avolatakein pegam hacheit b'koach hatshuva. However, the ability to fix that which has been destroyed or ruined, defected, through the power of tshuva, to fix a flaw, to fix a hole, you might say, in creation, zeh miyuchad rak l'bnei Yisrael. That's unique to the Jewish people. Vehu b'chinas teshuva me'ahava. That's called tshuva me'ahava, k'ma shekasuv, al kol peshoim techase ahava. That ahava covers all sins. Vehi ahavas haTorah. And this really, in truth, is the love of the Torah.
So you could say this also along the lines of the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, where he says that when you turn your averas into tzichuyos, that potential that a non-Jew has the potential to kind of have forgiveness, but not that greater potential like we're talking about, like the potential of.
That's right. They're saying the concept of spiritual pagan as a result of chet is a Jewish thing. That Gentiles can, in this world, do good or not do good. But they don't create a spiritual pagan in the world, or at the Ramchal's lashon, they don't have a hand in Hester Panim or Ha'oris Panim. That's strictly a Jewish thing. Mm-hmm. So for them to do tshuva is to change their ways, behave better. Mm-hmm. For Jewish people, we can create a pagam in Ruchnius. We can make more Ha'oris Panim or Hester Panim. And Teshuvah is the koach to be misaken the pagam spiritually, which we made. And he says that through koach HaTorah, koach HaPeh, and it's specific to the Jewish people. That's really a Yesodistic concept there, about this distinction between Teshuvah, between the Gentile and the Jew.
So even traditionally, the one day that a secular Jew would go to shul would be Yom Kippur.
And we saw that in the nice mimer in the Nesir Shalom this morning.
Right?
Yeah.
So
let me just finish this sentence that a certain Jew went into. I think it was a Divrei Shmuel, one of the Slonimer Rebbes, was something Shmuel.
I think so. I couldn't quite get with that knowledge. I think so.
So he talks about Jew going into sing, walking in. The Rebbe had a little room, and he off the base Knesset, and the Jew went in. He didn't feel he could go into the base Knesset. It was so broken, and so the Rebbe says, "I was also feeling that I couldn't go into Kol Nidre." He says, "But with the two of us, we can go in together."
Nice Mesa. Yes, Josh.
So the fact that a Jew makes a chet, it creates a pagam in Ruchnius,
right.
but a goy that errs, that does a sin, doesn't create a flaw in Ruchnius.
Right. It's just strictly this world.
So even though their method of tshuva is less, it's partly since the effect is less of what they did.
Right, the effect is less, and the change required is less. I mean, it's no easy thing to change your meisim, you know.
Right, right.
That's a challenging thing, but that's what's required.
It's sort of like the difference between the guy who's a carpenter and makes, you know, chisel slits or something like that versus his kid with his plastic carpenter toys. I mean, the fact that he has to change the way he uses those tools of plastic doesn't matter so much because there wasn't so much damage done in the first place.
It also means you don't have to fix damage.
The physical damage. But not spiritual, because they don't create spiritual damage, you see. But this world, an Olam Hazeh mentality, that's, they're very much responsible for it. Damages and
They still have to pay it back.
Sure. Reparations.
Right.
Sure. That's an olam hazeh, mitzvah.
Cost of living increases.
Right.
And I just figured out, he said in that same line from the Slomer, he says, Nyersh, normi yidin, ain item, yidin ain item. So only with Jews, there can't be just one. In other words, we can't be, if you need two or more, or a tehillah to
live it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Scott. That is very important to remember. Let's see your side. Okay, let's see what we've got here.
The Yom Kippur covers Vidui for the whole year.
No.
No?
No, a person is high up to do Vidui any time they pay.
Right, but if they didn't.
Yeah, then Yom Kippur covers it. Right, yes.
Is that why I see them do it every day?
It's part of the reason, because Vidui is part of Tshuva, which is a mitzvah b'chol yom. Yeah.
So we say Hashem lo b'dam.
Yeah, that's Vidui.
That's Vidui.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and that covers.
It does cover it. However, if a person knows about a specific chet that they did,
right,
they should actually privately verbalize that to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Let's say a person misses davening. Let's say they miss ma. They should say, I would like not to do that again.
Right.
And let's say that in English too.
Right.
But that vidu really should be said specifically on a specific chet.
Right.
Right. But if we don't, or if we're not aware, which happens a lot, then the Asham de Magadi, which is the Aleph Bay Seder, is meant to be kolel anything that we put in. Right. Supposing a person has...
When you read about the great Gedolim, that you just have long lists of stories about someone walking along the way or reading.
Right.
It seems like it's not something that we cultivate. I should. I mean, it comes to you've kind of dwelt on this topic. Is it sort of in the same category as, we don't want to bring ourselves to such a point of
mitzvahs? That's right. That's what we have to be careful with.
Right.
Not to really bring ourselves down for that.
Because, many of us spend the whole night, I think.
No wonder we're so tired in the morning. Chest a little sore, but as a practice, it's something that came up recently. So suppose a person has, an aveva, maybe a history of doing this aveva, and the aveva is somewhat of a compulsive nature, meaning a person could say vidui, I know I did this aveva, and I have, based upon my past, a fear that I do it again. Right, I fear that I do it again. So they do vidui. They did vidui in the same way,
right,
as if I'm a bria chadasha.
Right.
Because really, we never know. We think that we're going to do it again based on what we've done before. It's like
that's the thing.
But we never know.
That
could be the tikkun.
Right.
Until we get there, that could be the people right there. Maybe we're done.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the in Bereishis, when God asked Adam Arishon, I think the Lashon is, Adam Arishon says, I will eat. The verb is in future tense, because explain his thought, but it seems like he's afraid that once he's sinned, he will continue
to do that.
I mean, say they're doing it, and then I think, am I greater than Adam Arishon who said I'm going to do it again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's see what time we got. I tell you, we're going to take a short one.
Oh, well, short ones and precious Nessa.
Move on page 67. It's also the right column, second paragraph. The year tof reishon nun ches. The parshas nezirus, it says, ish ki yafli, if a man sets himself apart and becomes a nazir. Bazen niskayim ma'amurim zal. Through this, the words of the chachamim are fulfilled. Adam mekadesh atzmo milamata ma'at. If a person sanctifies himself a little bit down here below, then from heaven they sanctify him a great deal. So we do a ma'at, and the result of that is Hashemayim, they give you harbe. That simply by accepting upon oneself the nazir, to refrain from yayin, all of a sudden he has this enormous amount of kedusha, Kamo Kohen Gadol v'yoser, like a Kohen Gadol, because Kohen Gadol has all these restrictions about who he's allowed to become Tamei to. This guy's a regular Yisrael. He can become Tamei to anybody. All of a sudden, he's a Nazir. Kedusha is upon him like a Kohen Gadol. It says, and even more. Kamo Shekosuv, as it says, v'his kadishtem, if you make yourself holy, v'hiyisem kedoshim, then you will be holy, meaning min hashamayim, they will shower you with more. He likes that theme, right, this week. That, and this really comes from the power of Torah and Dibur. Shenitin lebnei Yisrael v'matin Torah. That was given to the Jewish people when we got the Torah. Meaning to say, the koach, that if we're mekadesh ourselves a little, min hashamayim they'll be mekadesh us a lot, that came through matan Torah. Therefore, this also is specifically a Jewish thing, to be a nazir. And it says when he sets himself apart, davka bedibur, a person has to be makabel nazirus bepeh. Can't just think it, he has to accept it verbally. Yafli, to set himself apart, like the word pella, is a wonder. I'm sorry, behu kamosher kasub ben midrash, yikora hi mipninin. It says that it is more precious than pearls. What does that mean? Mi kohen gadol shenichnis lifnai v'lifnin. More precious than a kohen gadol who goes into the inner chambers of the Kodesh HaKadosh. U'b'midrash, it says, v'ayifatuhu b'pihem. It says in the Midrash that we try to seduce God with our mouth. Right? That we were saying the right things. However, shelo haya nachon libam imam, but our heart wasn't with it. Right, so that's like a pitui. It's an enticement. It's a seduction. We're saying the things we're supposed to say, but our heart's not there. Below ba'u chazal lahotzi laz chas v'sholom alav aseinu hakadoshim. The chachamim weren't trying to come and speak slander on our holy ancestors, to say that what we said with our mouth we didn't really mean it. Ela ba'u l'lamdenu ki yecholim b'koach hapeh b'toru tefila lihisalas of the sakin hakol. They were saying that through the power of Torah, we can, through our mouth, be mesaken everything and lift it up. And they wanted to say that really it needs to be done with the full heart. They wanted to let us know how it should be done. Kama shakashu chazal, b'kabalas ha-Torah, nisrapu b'kol ha-mumin v'tumas. The Chachamim wrote, when we received Torah, we were healed from all physical defects. There were no more cripples, no more handicaps. And all levels of Tuma, they were all healed at Har Sinai. V'hula lamed al haklal kula. This is to teach in general. B'chol eisha adam osek b'torah misrape. And when a person studies Torah, they do have a measure of healing that comes to them. Mm-hmm. So he says, don't, if we serve Hashem through our mouth, let it be with the heart. That's the real refuah. But get the koach haTorah into it. Get the koach haTfilah into it. As it says in the Zohar, Gufa Tevira Iyishtadal Be'oraisa, yishkat asvasa vukula. He says that if you have a broken body, gufa tavira, if one endeavors, I yishtadal be'oraisa in the Torah, yishkach asvasa, a healing will be found present bakula in the whole thing.
Asvasa is healing?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, beautiful Torah. Yeah. I feel every year when we hit Parshas Bamidbar, and we hit Sefer Bamidbar, my favorite of all the sentences. He just seems to come so, the Torah just seems to become so alive, so sweet.
Go ahead. One has to be careful with that phrase, right? Because it is a mitzvah from the Torah to seek medical care. We wouldn't say that if you're sick, you just study Torah. At the same time, we wouldn't tell you to stop studying Torah if you were sick, right? So it's part of the refuah.
The question is, if you know how to do it, like the mice, the muscle of the patient who's given a prescription from the doctor says, take this a certain number of times, so the patient takes it home and, you know, chops it up and eats the prescription paper. And he comes back and he says, nothing happened. And what did you do? You have to know how to use it, you know.
Got it.